If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Ruined. This is Hallie.
And this is Allison.
And this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for you.
Allison, how you doing?
Oh, you know, good. Slogging through this, like, heat.
Oh, is
it super
hot?
Every time I go outside, I'm like, oh, it's oppressively hot in a way that I, can't function.
I'll be honest, that's the nice thing about it. It gets hot in LA, but baby, it's never as humid as New York.
Yeah, it's not just like a suffocating fog of wet, hot air.
I remember being living in New York. I'm literally wearing jeans all summer. And it's looking back, it's like, for God's sakes, woman, there are other pant fabrics. What were you doing?
I know. Just I wear dripping. Jeans most of the time,
Madness.
Too. And it's like, I have, like, adjusted my life into, like, more shorts. So that's, like,
I think that's
helpful.
Good. But also like, a linen pant. I feel like there's so many other options.
That,
like,
there are options that aren't heavy denim. But I do feel like also in the last 2 years, like, things have changed. Like, there's less, like, the formality to so many things where it's like, mm-hmm. You can wear jean shorts to that. It doesn't matter anymore. Like,
yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. That's a really good point. But
how are you?
I'm good. I'm just going to complain. I was going to try to watch another movie to continue our summer camp theme.
Yes.
But I couldn't find it on Amazon, so it was only available on Sci-Fi, right? Which you can get through Hulu, but you have to buy like the – I don't know if it's a live Hulu or there's some Hulu package. So you get Sci-Fi,
yeah.
You get live sports, you get Disney Plus. And I was like, I don't care or want those other things. But in order to get this, I guess I will. It wasn't like a trial. It was like you pay half as much as what you normally would pay, which is like $60. So I was willing to, I was saying, you know what? I just am desperate to get this. I will pay $30 to watch this movie. All right. I'm not happy about it, but whatever. And then I go to do it. And I changed my Hulu account. So now it's like this upgraded account, right?
Right.
And I'm like, I guess I'm going to enjoy a month of watching Disney Plus or whatever to get my money's worth.
Get some, watch some Simpsons.
It will not, like, basically it's like, we need to find your, we need to know where you're located so we know what live sports you can watch, which again, I don't care about. So I was like, okay, here's like, my location.
Anywhere.
I, for whatever reason, I don't know why Hulu is insisting that like, I'm not showing it my location. So, like, you know, it says, like, show us your location. I say yes. And it's like, oh, your browser's blocking it. But then when I go to my browser to specifically unblock it,
yes,
it doesn't register it. So now I can't even get on Hulu at all. I can't access Hulu whatsoever. So I'm,
no!
I'll figure it out. I just need to figure out, like, the settings on my Chrome, I think. But I'm just like, I have, in fact, paid $30 to do fucking nothing because
nothing.
As a result, I had to do another movie, a movie I really enjoyed and, like, I'm happy to do. But I was like, why Hulu? Why do you have to play me like this? I don't care about live sports. I didn't want to get live sports. I just didn't know any other way of getting this movie.
Right. And it's like, it feels so weird because we do live in the era, it feels like, of like anything, anytime on demand. We can watch basically anything except if it was on Comedy Central 8 years ago. And then like that's lost in time forever.
Then you could watch it on Facebook in clips. That's seems to be what their
that's
strategy
the only way.
Is.
But like, it always like, because I'm always like, God, there's so much choice. I can watch anything I want. And like, then when there's something really specific you want to watch, there's always like 10 weird hurdles that make it impossible. And you're like, okay, so you can't watch anything at any time.
At least until I figure out this Hulu thing, I can't do it.
It's a nightmare. And also like in this new world, like I feel like in the past you were able, when there was a problem with a service or a product, there was a number you could call and a person you could talk to. And like now it's like, do you want to chat with a robot to fix your computer? And it's like, no, I don't. I actually have no idea how to do that, and it doesn't help.
And I do regret that for people younger than us, where, like, you really could – I mean, it was annoying and a hassle, but you really could call places and get somebody. And now so many places are, like, automated. Like, insight into me, I was traveling for work, and I may have temporarily lost my passport. Horrifying 12 hours. Luckily, got it back or whatever. But while I was trying to find it, I was in the airport trying to talk to Delta, I'll call them out, and I was like, do you have a lost and found? Like, I'm concerned I left it on the plane, you know? Could you check? And they're like, well, there's a lost and found, but it's outside of the security. So I was like, well, I don't want to leave because I
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
If you can't get back. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sure I could talk to someone, but that's like another hassle, whatever. And I was like, can I just call down there? Could you guys call down there? Like, we don't have a phone number at the Lost and Found. You have to fill out a form. And I was like, we can't call a place that's 50 yards away because there's no phone. Like, that. I'm like, this is so stupid. So I filled out the form and like, it ended up all working out. Like, it wasn't there. Fortunately, it was in the lift that I took. But it was just like that moment of like, boy, we've really automated anything helpful or easy out of this process.
Right. Like you should, like it is easier to like automation does not mean easier.
Yes.
Especially from the user experience.
You're absolutely right. And like, and it's like it's anything that people would be so desperate to find is something they don't want to fill a form out. It's like medications, your baby stuff, eyeglasses, your wallet. Yes. Like this is not shit that like you're going to like, I'll just sit here and fill out my form. It's like, I would like to talk to someone who is looking at the stuff currently.
Yeah,
so stupid.
That's a nightmare.
These are my complaints about the world, Allison.
And they are valid.
But we have a great movie that I was, the universe led me to watch, and I really enjoy it. And it is, of course, 2015's The Final Girls. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer. So, Allison, what were your thoughts about The Final Girls trailer?
I'm, like, surprised I didn't know this existed. Like, it's just got so many comedy, and I understand it's a horror comedy, but, like, there's just so many comedy people in it where I was like, I would have seen that this exists. Like, Malin Ackerman, like, Middleditch, Adam Devine. Like, there's just a lot
Aaliyah Shawkat.
Aaliyah Shawkat. Like, it's just, like, there's so many people in it where I'm like, how did this not, like, cross my screen at some point?
That's a great question.
You know, it does look fun. I do like kind of, like, playing with, like, we're inside of the movie, like it, you know, kind of like the later Scream films in the franchise, where it's like it's about a movie that's about the movie that you're watching. Like, I think that there's like a lot of fun in that, so I'm excited to see how they do it.
Yes, this is a very meta horror comedy. Mm-hmm. We love to see it to mix it up from our genuine heartfelt summer camp slasher movies. We also take a baseline scary, so. I'm going to ask you, Allison, how scary do you find the concept of the unchangeable nature of time?
Oh, extremely?
Yeah.
I guess not scary, just more upset.
Yeah, just like the idea of like, you know, it's sort of that, it's something you're so powerless over. Like, it's like when something has happened, it's like.
It has happened.
You can only adjust yourself. Yeah, you can't unhappen it. Or can you, Allison?
Is that what this movie posits?
It posits it. It is posited in this film.
It is posited.
And we always like to have Allison guess the twist. What twist, if any, do you think will be in The Final Girls?
Guess the twist.
Okay, so what I gather from the trailer, which was long and gave a lot of plot.
Oh boy, okay.
It seems like the daughter of a woman who died, though I'm just like, well, is this a documentary? How are you watching your, but I guess like maybe she was an actress in a horror movie who died shortly after, and it's like the anniversary of this horror movie. So like, and then they end up in the movie. And I think it'll be kind of, that how her mom died is not going to be what the daughter had been told all along. Like,
ooh,
she'll
okay.
find out like where it's like, oh, I always thought that like you drowned by accident, but actually like you were murdered by this person.
Okay. I love it. Let us begin by ruining The Final Girls. So we open on a trailer for a very 80s horror movie called Camp Bloodbath. And with the, like, the sort of the typical voiceover, it's like,
welcome to Camp Bluefinch, where romance and the sun can turn deadly.
And it's a very horny, very classic summer camp slasher. So we see like sexy counselors that are unaware of being terrorized by a mass killer known as Billy Murphy. And it's, the voice shows us, you know, sort of the hooking up. Machetes flying, and the voiceover says, they won't be singing Kumbaya. They'll be screaming Kumbaya no. And we see the trailer is being watched by our teen protagonist, Max, who is sipping her soda and waiting for her mom in her car. And underneath, like, her feet, there's a box of her mom's headshots. And her name of her mother is Amanda Cartwright, who is in Camp Bloodbath, as we see in the credits. Max looks up and we see her mother leaving what we assume is another failed audition, smoking a cigarette, her life just not wanting to be, just not what it, what she wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And she slides in the driver's seat and Max immediately like, you know, you're too good for this. Okay. You know, like you, they should be so lucky to have you. And Amanda's like, you know, I, kind of my only claim to fame is Camp Bloodbath. So as soon as I go in, they're like, how do I know you? Oh yes. I remember, you know, you had sex and then it got murdered on screen, you know? And she tells Max, if you ever decide to act, don't do a slasher film. It'll ruin your career. And Max is like, I have no interest in being an actress. You're the actress. You're the star.
Nev Campbell disagrees.
Yeah. They decide, let's go to Mel's for dinner. And so Amanda's complaining about her boyfriend. And Max is like, he's a fucking loser. Like, you know, he invited you to Palm Springs. He's kind of just stopped communicating with you. Meanwhile, Max is also going through their bills. It was like, we have to pay these bills. So the idea is like, Amanda had Max very young. And so Max is much more mature and sort of like her friend slash roommate, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, as Amanda's sort of like the alive one, like the one who's like fun and carefree most of the time. And Max is like the serious one. And in this moment of joie de vivre, she grabs the bills out of Max's hand and throws them out the window. And of course, I'm like, someone's going to take your address. Someone's going to steal your information. But
Yep. We're primed to be terrified constantly of identity theft on this podcast.
That's true.
Because it's a real threat.
And she turns to the radio, and just then, Amanda's favorite song, Betty Davis Eyes, starts playing. And she's like, oh my God, Max, they're playing my song. And they crank it up. I love
that song.
And they're just like mousing along to Betty Davis Eyes. And they're having a moment. They're really having fun. And Max is like relaxed for once. But then Max drops her soda into the box of headshots, ruining them. And horrified, Amanda's like, oh my God.
We know they're expensive.
That's what she said. She says those are really expensive. And she looks down. Allison, in that moment, a car comes into the intersection and they are T-boned by another car, sending the car flipping over.
Okay.
3 years later, Amanda, of course, has died in the car accident. And Max is just sort of in a fugue state. She's just trying to get through the rest of high school. And we see her watching a whole old home movie of her mother, just clearly, like, just not still there, like, just not, like, not able to move forward, understandably. And she gets picked up by her friend Gertie, who's Alia Shawkat, who's trying to cheer Max up. And she's like, oh my God, like, Chris, your tutor is single. I heard you broke up with Vicky, who everybody hates. She's like this mean bitch. And he's like, I think Chris Vicky's is interested in you.
Mean bitches.
And it's Vicky with an I. I know a Vicky with a Y who's a lovely, wonderful woman.
Me too.
You changed that Y Vicky with an I.
Vicky Gumbelson as Real Housewives of Orange County. No one's a bigger bitch.
Yeah. And it is a classic bitch name in movies. But, you know, he's like, I think you should ask Chris out. Like, he's single now and he clearly really likes you. And Max is like, I'm just trying to graduate. She's struggling to finish her classics class. And that's why they're meeting Chris. They meet at the Frostop Root Beer Diner. And he tutors them on Greek mythology, which I think is an interesting thing to be struggling with. Like, I feel like we're supposed to, like, take the – he's telling them the story of Pandora. And I think it's, like, we're supposed to take from that. Okay. But I'm like, I can understand, like, math or, like, even philosophy. You know, I think it'd be hard. But, like, we're just learning Greek myths. I don't know if anyone's having a hard time with that. Am I wrong?
It's just stories. It's learning stories.
Yeah. But again, maybe the trauma cut her off from her natural, you know, ability to understand these. And just then, Gertie's stepbrother, Duncan, runs in and sort of corners Max. And he's like, please, please come to the double feature for Camp Bloodbath and Camp Bloodbath 2 that he is organizing at the local theater. She is Amanda Cartwright's daughter. I mean, it's kind of a huge get. She's never really wanted to be affiliated with that stuff, especially with since her mother always felt so down about the movie. You know, and she's like, I don't think I could do it. But Duncan tells her, look, I will do all of your classics homework and your papers through the end of the year if you do this for me. And she says, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. So that night, they go to the movie theater, and Chris, who's clearly interested in Max as well, is also there because they were talking about it, you know? And Gertie's like, hoo hee hee, you know, like behind his back, like motioning, like, oh, he really likes you. But again, Max is still very fucked up about her mother's untimely and horrific death.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just not sort of picking up what he's putting down. And they stand near the movie poster and Chris is like, wow, like this is really cool, like to honor her, you know? And Max reveals that this is the 3-year anniversary of her mother's death that night.
Okay.
So Chris's ex, Vicky, rolls up. And again, she's got like some new hunky boyfriend named Tyson and is just there to wave Tyson in Chris's face to get him to like be interested in her or like tease him or whatever. And as soon as they go in, she basically dumps Tyson to like talk to Chris.
Okay.
Vicky is also talking about like, you know, she's on Adderall. That's the only way she can get through her schoolwork. And we find out that Vicky and Max used to be good friends.
Okay.
And they sort of have like an awkward like half talk where they sort of acknowledge it before Vicky drags Chris away to like get him interested in her and to buy her popcorn, clearly trying to win him back. And yeah. Gertie's like, oh, what? I hate that bitch. Like, are you going to let her do that? And Max is like, again, I barely have any energy to do anything. Like, whatever.
I'm just getting through the day.
Yeah. Duncan gets Max to agree to do a Q&A after the movie. And she's like, that's fine. So they get Max joins the gang in the movie theater and the movie begins. And beginning is we see Max's mom plays Nancy, who is one of our scream queens. She rolls up to camp in a bright yellow VW bus with fellow counselors mm-hmm. Tina and Kurt. And Nancy is the one that tells the story in the movie of little Billy Murphy. We see this flashback in black and white to the 1950s. The kids always picked on Billy, and the counselors decided to play a prank on him. And we see in black and white that, you know, he's in like an old-timey outhouse, and the other campers throw a firecracker into the outhouse while Billy's pooping. And you hear his terrible screams.
Awful.
And in the movie, you also see that Nancy and Kurt, who is played by Adam Devine, he's sort of like the Lothario. Like, he's like the one very horny, like sort of a jock, like constantly trying to get in the pants. Puns. Yes. Unfortunately, Allison, while they're watching, there's a moviegoer in the back of the movie theater who's sipping from a bottle of vodka, who then drops it, and it sort of just rolls down under the seats. Just then, another moviegoer goes to ash their joint, and you see the little...
What's this movie theater that you can smoke weed in?
A fucking cool one, man. Yeah, I know.
Real chill movie theater.
And the ember drops, and the whole fucking place ignites. Like, it is, the movie theater is instantly in flames. Everyone is screaming and freaking out, and somebody has, like, a prop machete, like, that Billy Murphy uses in the movie. Somebody drops one, so Max grabs it, and they aren't able to get to the back of the theater. So she says to Duncan, is there an exit behind the screen? And he says yes. So she, of course, slices through the screen to escape. Yes. They all follow right behind her. So when they all wake up, Max and the entire gang have traveled to this beautiful wooded area. They're in, it's the middle of the day. And they're like, did we fucking die? What happened? And just then they see the bright yellow VW bus, the same one from the movie, roll up. And we see Tina and Kurt in the front, and they're like, oh, do you know the way to Camp Bluefinch? And they all start just so flabbergasted, they don't answer. And Tina and Kurt are like, okay, whatever. And they drive down. Allison, they walk for 92 minutes down the road, only to look up and see the VW bus drive by again. Gertie's like, okay, I figured it out. We've all gone insane.
Yes.
And Duncan's like, I unfortunately think that something else is going on. This time when the BW bus stops, they sort of ask, oh, where's the Camp Bluefinch? Duncan tells Tina and Kurt, oh, you know, actually we're counselors too. So we need to hitch a ride to the camp. And everyone's like, what are you doing? He's like, we saw the bus and then 92 minutes later, it showed back up.
Yeah.
We're in the movie. The movie's looping, so there's no point in waiting here. And everyone's like, I don't know. But, of course, they're already in the VWS, so they're kind of, like, play acting as if, like, they're not immediately, like, you're in a movie. You know, like, they're not sure how to play this, you know?
Well, how would you?
Yeah. And Kurt's like, oh, my God, I hope you guys packed other clothes, but all of you look disgusting. Of course, he's wearing, like, a crop top, like, cut-off jean shorts, like, a big, like, keychain and big hair. And he calls to the back and he says, someone better wake up Sleeping Beauty back there, a line from the movie. And Max turns and realizes that the character her mother plays is there. Her Nancy is there. Her mother is alive as a 20-year-old, basically.
Yes.
And so she stares and she sees that Nancy looks up and is like, oh, hi, I'm Nancy. And Max is crying. And she's like, aww. Oh, you know what? Is this your first time away from home? I get it. It's so hard to be away from your parents. Like, I was the same way. So they're immediately like, she's very sweet and immediately like forming this relationship. And of course, Max is like, I can't tell you that you're.
I'll cry. Like, that's so sweet.
It's, this whole movie is very nice. I mean, that's sort of the point of it is sort of like, yeah. you know, like having to come to terms with things. But it's yeah. so sweet. And I'm just like, also, Malin aww. Ackerman is great in this. Everybody is very she's good in this great. Movie. This should
I
be a bigger movie.
I haven't seen her in anything in a minute. I would love to see her in more stuff. Yeah. She's terrific.
Also, absolutely stunning. Absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, truly gorgeous.
Yeah. So the bus arrives at Camp Bluefinch. Like, the other counselors get out. They meet the other counselor, Blake. And Duncan's like, okay, yeah, so we're the movie. So and everyone says, so how the fuck do we get out of here?
Yeah.
And he points, and we see one of the counselors, Mimi, is headed into the woods. He's like, we're right on schedule. She meets a hot hitchhiker. They end up hooking up. But then she and the hitchhiker get murdered in the woods. And Max is like, so we're just going to let her die is what you're telling me. It's like, well, I mean, it's really the only people who get killed in the movie are people who have sex or like are sexual in any way.
Yes.
They die. And Max realizes my mother isn't the final girl. My mother is murdered in the movie. Like right. my mother has sex with Kurt.
And then
she's no longer a virgin. And then she is one of Billy Murphy's victims.
Yes.
And Vicky, to her credit, she's a bitch, but she's like, we're getting the fuck out of here.
Yes.
I'm going to get the van. We're just going to drive. And it's like, yes. as if that would work. But like, I get it. It's like, whatever but other like, options.
I think that's a logical, like, let's try this. That's a logical first yes. idea before you start learning the rules of like what bizarre upside down movie world you're in.
Exactly. So they go to hit, she goes to like talk to Kurt, who only wants to like smash, you know?
Yeah.
And basically they're like, we just want to borrow your van. Please don't make us be a part of this. He's like, you guys are weird. And he takes his van keys and he hurls them into the woods behind him. So now they have to go find the keys. It's like, again, Kurt, you're an asshole. You're going to die. That's Kurt. Why, that's the role you're playing is like a fucking buffoon. You need buffoon. To die. He's the, yeah, he is the glazer of the burning, basically. Yes. He's just a meathead. So they all rush over there while Max talks to her mom's character, Nancy, who has, of course, no awareness of her. Her character Nancy does not have children. Like, she has no idea who Max is. She just thinks, oh, you're another counselor who's joining us.
Yeah.
And Nancy tells Max, you know, like, I'm going to be honest, like, Kurt asked me to do it with him later, and I think I wouldn't do it. Like, I can't stay a virgin forever. I'm going to be going off to college. Like, this summer I said I was going to lose my virginity. And I'm going to get drunk because I want to be cool like Tina. And we look over at Tina, and Tina is like just daytime grinding on Chris. Like, she's like the horn, like the slut. Like, yeah. she's so horny. Like, she's grinding on him and there's no music. And Chris sort of like uncomfortably rushes over to Max to like, I'm going to help the key. Go help find the keys. Yeah. And Max tells Nancy, do not have sex. Do not drink. Yes. Do not be sexual in any way. I am warning you. Nancy's like, oh my god, you sound like my mother. Like, cut loose. This is summer camp. We're gonna fuck.
Summer camp. This is where everybody fucks.
Yeah, like we're watching children in nature. Of course, we're all gonna just raw dog each other. You know. So Max finally agrees. She's gonna help look for the keys. So they're fumbling around. They're in the overgrowth, and while they're looking there, they see Mimi meet this hitchhiker, and of course, immediately start making out like you do when you meet a random hitchhiker in the woods. Of course, you immediately start hooking up.
Definitely. Yeah. Fuck.
And so they start going to town. They are, unfortunately, the first ones murdered. First, the hitchhiker is stabbed by Billy Murphy with his machete, and then Mimi. And Vicky's like, I cannot believe that we are just going to stand here and watch them get casually murdered. But Duncan's like, well, it's kind of on our hands. Like, we didn't write the movie. Like, like we're kind of just documentarians. Like, we have to observe it because if we start to change it, you know, it will. We don't know what could possibly happen. Just then, they look, and Billy Murphy turns and notices them and starts walking towards Max and the gang. Allison, I got to ask, what would you do?
What would you do?
Like, I think I'd try and kill him.
Yeah.
Like,
what would you kill him with? Like,
I don't know. There's like four or five. Like, do they still have the... No, they don't have the keys to the van.
But they have a bunch of them. I mean, there's like five of them. I mean, they
like could hold him down and like fight him and like take his weapon. What is he killing
people with? A machete.
A machete.
Of course.
Like, if you can get the machete out of his hands, like,
yeah,
you know, take some action. Like, I don't subscribe. Like, this isn't like the past in a real way because it's a film. So like, you can fuck around with what's happening in it. It's not like you know, the fable of like going back and, or what was it, the Twilight Zone of like a butterfly flaps its right. wings and then like, you know, all of history has changed. Like that's not what's happening here because you're in a movie.
Yeah.
So just like start fucking with it.
Yeah, because also it's like him. If you're wrong, well, there's no way that you could have known that, you know. So it's right. like, what are you going to lose if you're yeah. wrong and you end up dying? Well, you were a serial killer was already approaching you anyways, you know.
Right.
I completely agree with that. So they all run screaming except for Duncan, and Duncan points out, he's like, I don't think that he can affect us. And Billy stops, and he's like, look, I don't. He's not. He can't kill or won't kill us because we're not a part of the movie. But the movie will end when the final girl wins. So we kind of just have to, like, watch it all happen. Like, we kind of just have to be the audience within the movie. You know, he's like, oh, that final kill in Camp Bloodbath, like, it's so cool. Like, the final girl, Paula, shows up, and she kicks the machete out of his hand, and she grabs and she just slashes Billy.
My plan.
So Duncan's like, okay, we're just going to stick with Paula, and we'll be fine. And he's so confident that he goes to take a celebratory selfie with, like, Billy yes. Murphy in the background. And, of course, as he's taking it, we see the machete just, like, tomahawk in from off camera and stab Duncan through the side, and he collapses to the ground. They can, of course, be affected in the yes. movie. And now they've changed the movie.
Yes. Now somebody, yes.
And so they do this, like, very fun loop of, like, they attempt to run out of the camp, but every time they attempt to run into camp, they just end up running back around the other side. They physically yes, cannot fine. Leave the camp anymore. And Max realizes, like, the movie will not let us leave, so we have to try to get to the end of the movie and see if we can escape then, because there's nothing we could do about right. it. Next thing you know, the gang is sort of just sitting with the counselors, who have no idea any of this is all going on, of course.
Right.
And they're singing, Jordan's River is deep and wide, hallelujah, which is from Friday the 13th.
Yes.
So they're, like, just playing the acoustic guitar, and Max fun. Says, I think we have to tell them what we know. I think we have to just
yes.
let them know what's, again, if we're affecting it, we're already here, we're already affecting it, you know?
Yeah.
Vicky's like, that's a great idea. Also, do you guys have any fucking axes and chainsaws? Like, she's like, if there are weapons, we got to be unmasking them. Yeah.
Yes.
Luckily, Paula, our final girl, the only brunette, rolls up, and she's like obviously. Smoking a cigarette, and she's just ready. She's already ready to kick ass. She's just sort yeah. of like, who the fuck are these new people, you know?
Yes.
Ned
yes.
says, oh, well, they're the new a counselors. Queen. And Paula's like, we don't have any new counselors coming this year. But Nancy says, well, I guess we do. I don't. And it showed up. And it,
yeah, they're here.
Does seem to be the policy of an 80s summer campus. If someone shows up, we just assume they can work here.
There yeah, now.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we don't need to know any information about you or we your business. We don't need to
know your history or your behavioral patterns or even your name.
Exactly.
You work here now. Manage the children.
Oh, you're an active pedophile. Well, you know, I guess work in the kitchen and we'll try to yeah. keep it contained. Yeah. And so they're trying to, like, strategize it, what exactly to do. And they're like, okay, so Billy only shows up when someone starts to get sexy or have sex. So if all of us sort of just, like, stay with the individual characters and sort of act as, like, a downer.
A blocker.
A real yeah. blocker. A wet blanket. Then Billy won't show up because he will not have his cue to show up. So we just have to stick right. with everybody and just, like, turn the dial way down on how horny everybody is.
Ugh, tough to do at a summer camp.
Because everyone's so gosh darn horny.
Up.
So they all pick, like, a person to follow, and Max says, okay, I'll take my mom. And Vicky's like, just so you know, that's not your fucking mom, and I don't want your delusional shit to get us killed. And Vicky's not wrong. Like, it is hurtful to hear, but it's not her mother. It's yeah. a character played by her mother, which how do you deal with that, you know?
Right, yeah. You can't really connect to her and the way being like, mom, it's me. Like,
yeah,
she's not mom. She's Nancy, and Nancy isn't your mom.
And so Chris hangs out with Kurt, and he's like, you know, none of the girls are, like, that hot. You know what I mean? Like, so it's probably, like, going to be, like, a pretty, you know what I mean? Like, let's focus on, you know, like, ourselves and, like, working on ourselves, you know?
Oh, sure.
And Kurt's like, hell no, all those girls are just smoke shows. And he calls Chris the F word. And Wendy doesn't want to look at his porno mag. And Chris tells him, you know what? My dads are gay, so how about you shut the fuck up? And Kurt's like, gay guys can't have kids. They're too busy to go to the disco, which is actually, like, a very cool lifestyle. He's like, listen, being gay is cool as hell.
That sounds amazing.
But you don't have kids. And Chris is like, listen, just listen to me. You don't want to get sexy with any of these gals. And Kurt's like, no, there's no one hotter than that fine-ass girl, Max. And of course, Chris flips out. And we've known him to be, again, like, a very intellectual person, but he goes sort of full jock mode and he grabs Kurt by the throat and he's like, you shut the fuck up about Max. Like he is sort of also becoming a jock, you know, in his exposure to these cliches.
Everybody's going to like fall into an archetype, I imagine.
Yes. And so Gertie is hanging out with Blake and they clearly have a flirtation. Vicky's hanging out with Tina and Paula and Tina's like, what's this? And it's Vicky's iPhone. And he's like, it's a phone. And Tina's like, this is not a phone. I could, you know, fit this in my mouth. Like, there's no way this is a phone. Right. And she also grabs Vicky's Adderall prescription. And she's like shaking. It's like, how about you just not touch that and just give me back my shit? Out.
Yeah.
Paula is also like, they're going to have like a sort of a sleepover like the night before like the camp counselors come. So like, Paula's making like an alcoholic punch. They're all going to like hang out. There's going to be, of course, like a terrible rainstorm later. But of course, things are going to get sexy. And then, of course, Billy Murphy will show up, as is the plot of the film. Meanwhile, Vicky keeps trying to be like, you know, if you had like a chainsaw here, like where would it be? That would be my question.
Yeah. I like Vicky's insistence on weaponing up. Like she's honestly the smartest person there right now.
And meanwhile, Max finds Nancy, who is already, it's a scene you see in the trailer where she's in her underwear waiting for Kurt up in his room. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, Max, like, come on. And she sort of like chides her the way that, like, Max chides Nancy the way that Max chided her mother. Like, you need a guy who actually like cares about you and treats you right. Like, they act like they like you, but then they don't actually do the things you need them to do. And Nancy's like, you know, that's like a very insightful thing. You're like very wise, you know? Aww. Kurt shows up. He's got his shirt off. He's like, oh, two for the price of one, ladies, of course.
Jesus Christ.
But both Nancy and Max are turned off by that. They're like, we're going to recuse ourselves. Thank you.
Yeah, no.
Unfortunately, because something sexy was about to happen, we hear the, like, every time Billy shows up, they hear the sting, the like, ch-ch-ch, ha-ha, like music.
Yes.
And he shows up. So they hear that, and it's like Gertie sees Billy through the window, screams, everyone runs in. They're all in the main cabin. And Gertie says, we just have to tell them about Billy. And Nancy says, you don't mean the legend of Billy Murphy, and sits down and tells the story that we already saw in the movie, you know?
Right.
And as she tells it, the room sort of starts to melt, and it takes them physically into a flashback, but just the gang from outside the movie, not the actual movie participants.
Not the characters in the original film.
So, yeah, so Max and the gang are suddenly in the black and white version of the camp, and they're there in 1957. We see a convertible roll up with the original counselors, and they hear Nancy's voiceover. They're watching the counselors throw a firecracker into the outhouse. They hear Billy's screams, and we find out this time around that Billy had 3-degree burns all over his face. And during those long nights in the burn ward, he turned to rage. He hated his face so much, he carved a mask to cover it, which is very much of the burning, you know? And of course, the mask, classic of so many classic killers.
Horror. Yeah.
And as soon as he was able to, so he didn't even wait like cropsy 5 years. As soon as he was able to, Billy, who is still a child, returned to the camp and killed 8 counselors, one for every month he spent in the burn ward. And as he slaughters them, their blood sprays all over Gertie because she happens to just be standing in the wrong place.
Yeah.
The flashback ends and they're back in the cabin and all the counselors look at them. Gertie is still covered in blood. Like she has brought the blood from the flashback.
No.
So the movie counselors recently are like, what the fuck is going on? They all run out. They're screaming. They're like, who are you people? What is this? Why are you covered in blood?
Why are you covered in blood? A valid question at any point.
100%. And Kurt and Paula jump in Paula's car, and they just fucking take off, right?
Yeah.
Tina falls down, and Nancy comes back to save her, and Max rushes over, and Nancy's like, stop. Tell us what the fuck is going on. And Max tells them, I am so sorry. You cannot leave. None of us can. We think that, like, this is the movie, and we're in it with you, and we're going to be here till Billy Murphy is dead. And we're hoping maybe when he dies we could leave, but we have no idea.
No one knows the rules.
Allison, as Kurt and Paula peel away out of the camp, Duncan, who is badly injured but still alive, wanders onto the dirt road and is immediately mowed down by the car.
Oh, Duncan. Too bad.
And Kurt's like, oh my God, you killed Duncan. Let's go to a hotel and like relax and like work this out on each other. Oh no. But before they could even react, Paula veers out the road, slams into a totem pole, and Kurt flies through the windshield, killing him. And before anyone could even react, Paula's car explodes, killing Paula as well. So Paula and Kurt.
The original final girl.
The original final girl. So these are two deaths that were not meant to happen like this in the movie. And of course, as the final girl, she was not supposed to die at all. She was going to survive to the end and kill Billy Murphy. Right. The final girl is now dead. Of course, the question is then, who has to be the final girl? Vicky flips out. She is like, Paula's the only one of us who can kill Billy Murphy. The rest of these characters are just fucking saps. You know, she has no faith that Nancy could do it. She's like, oh, Nancy's just like the little nice blonde one with a clipboard. You think she can get out here and kill somebody? And everyone is kind of mourning them. And Vicky's like, those people weren't even real. We're real. This is just a movie. And Nancy steps forward and says, what do you mean this is just a movie? Like, talk me through what the fuck we're talking about.
Right.
So back inside, Blake, Tina, and Nancy are, like, mentally trying to wrap their heads around the fact that they are movie characters. Because, like, this is the first time they're...
That's a lot to take in. If somebody showed up in your life and was like, hey, this is a movie and, like, this isn't a real thing and reality exists outside of this, like, closed world that you live in, it would take me a minute to kind of process that.
I feel like it's sort of like when people talk about like, this is a simulation. Don't tell me about it. It's real to me. I don't need to know if it's a simulation or not. That's not my business.
Right. No. Personally. I'm living my life. Don't bother me.
Tina also raises her hand and we see Tina is like in multiple layers of clothing, mittens that are like taped on and a life vest. And she's like, I have a question. Why do I have to wear all this? And like, okay. Well, because you do a strip tease of the slumber party, and that's when Billy shows up to fucking kill everybody.
Yeah.
So we are going to really be careful, and you can't get too horny, and you cannot take your clothes off. Yeah. And of course, Tina, because she is the slut character, is like, I don't know about that. Why would I do that? And then immediately is like trying to take off her mittens to get naked. They're like, nope, Tina.
Nope. Stop it.
We know you want to see these, show off your little titties. Don't do it.
No.
And, you know, they're sort of regrouping. And then Vicky says, okay, Paula's dead and we need a new final girl. I volunteer. But Chris says, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but you have to be a virgin and you're absolutely not a virgin.
Yeah.
The only virgin in the group is Max. So it is probably going to fall to her to have to be the final girl.
Oh, boy.
Chris is immediately like, let's strategize. He gets killed by his own machete. We have to get Billy's machete. We know that weapon works. We could try other stuff, but we don't really
know. It might not work. Yeah. That's smart and not something I would have thought of.
And but he's like, basically, you just have to get the machete and then based on the movie, chop his head off. And Vicky's like, she can't fucking do that. Look at her. Do you think she could do that? And Chris is finally like, you have to stop. I don't know why we even dated. I don't know why you're acting like this. You need to shut the hell up.
You're a bitch.
But also, you can see Max herself is like, I don't know if I could decapitate a guy. I don't know if I do.
I don't think I could.
Yeah. I mean, I think I could, but would I want to? It depends on the guy, you know?
Yeah. No, it's true. But I know it's not easy. It's not like spreading butter. I mean, it's work.
Yeah, exactly. You got to really put your back into it. But meanwhile, Nancy stands up and she's like, I can do it. I'm still a virgin. Kurt and I didn't actually have sex, so I could do it. And Vicky's like, look, no offense, you are not the final girl. You are one of the hot blondes that exists to add to the body count. I'm sorry, like, you're just not a final girl. And Nancy runs out sobbing, and Max follows her, and Nancy says, do you think I'm really going to die? And Max is like, in the movie, you do. And so Nancy, for the first time, was like, so I'm never going to grow up, I'm never going to have a career, I'm never going to get married, I'm never going to have kids? Because I've always dreamed of having a daughter. I think I'd be a really good, great mom. I know, I'm just like.
I'm like crying.
She's like, I think I would have been a really great mom. And Max like really wants to tell her. She's like, well, but she's like, there's no point. It's just going to make her feel like worse. What would it mean? Yeah. Like, it's just like, you did have a life. You don't get to live it. You know, like, that's such a hard concept.
Yeah.
And Nancy's like, you know, I should have known something was up with this place. What kind of summer camp has waterbeds? Which I thought was a very funny specific.
It's a very funny line.
But because Nancy's is distressed, Max, that gives her enough to be like, I'm going to fucking fight. If I need a final girl, I'm going to do it because I have to. It's the right thing to do for my mother / fictional character / friend, you know?
Yeah.
So back in the main cabin, Chris is like, we're going to try to plan this out to maximize our survival. So they are going to set a trap at the slumber party by booby trapping all the possible paths Billy could take in the house. And he calls it Operation Booby Trap because when they are finally ready, it's Tina's, I wrote Tina's titties are going to set it off. They change it to Tina's kitties. So Tina's kitties are going to set it off once they're ready to go. So we see everyone preparing. Max, Gertie, and Vicky are like sharpening sticks to make stakes out of. And Vicky starts sobbing. And she apologizes to Gertie. And she's like, I'm so sorry that in middle school I told everyone to call you Pajunkadunk. And I covered your locker in bacon. Like, it was really funny, but I feel bad about it.
What?
And Gertie's like, that's okay.
Crazy bitch behavior.
Yeah. Gertie's like, that's okay. I'm the one who made up the rumor that you have a weird disease where you're always on your period. Which I also thought was funny.
That's such a funny rumor. It's also an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, and if someone said that in middle school, you're like, I don't know anything about anything, so like I have to assume this is true.
I would believe it, and I'd be like, gross.
So Vicky turns to Max, and he's like, I'll be honest, when your mom died, like, you completely shut me out, and I was so jealous of when you were, like, your friendship with Gertie, and I was acting like a bitch to you, and I was just being immature, but I'm really sorry, you know?
Aww, and, I like that they're doing this.
Yeah, but then Max realizes, like, you know, you don't have to give, like, your farewell speech. Like, you don't have to die. You know, you're not going to die. And Vicky's like,
I'm the mean girl in the 80s horror movie, and we're past the midpoint, so, you know, I'd say that I've overstayed my welcome.
It's coming.
And they all hug. Back at the main cabin, Tina has gotten one of her mittens off. And is trying to undo her clothes.
Oh,
and
Tina.
Luckily, the gals Crafty. Stop her. And they're like, nope. But they don't stop notice it. That she has snagged Vicky's Adderall. Because, again, look, it's an 80s summer camp movie. People are not going to not do drugs. Exactly. It's like, oh, you got pills? Then Tina's going to need those pills.
Who cares what they are?
Later, Nancy and Max, they're soaking cloth and kerosene to wrap around arrows. They're going to make, like, flaming arrows. And right. Nancy asks Max, like, so where do your parents think you are? Like, they must be so worried. Max is like, well, my dad died when I was little and my mom was awesome. I mean, she was on a trip. And of course, Nancy realizes Max's mom is dead.
Right.
And so Max gets an idea. And what she pitches Nancy is,
I know in the movie you're supposed to die, but that doesn't mean you have to, right? Right. And if you don't die, then that means you'll be around at the end of the movie when we leave. Right. So then, who's to say you can't just come home with me?
You can come back into our world and do whatever you want. You can go to college. She's like, where, when we go back, where will we be? And Max's like, well, the Valley. We live in the Valley. And Nancy's like, I could be a whole new person in the Valley. I could have a whole life. And Nancy's like, I don't know. It's very overwhelming. Like, I need to think about this. And Nancy gives Max, like, a pink and purple friendship bracelet. And they hug. Aww. And finally, it's
this movie's so cute.
I know. But it's finally time that Tina has to do her strip tease. And I think there's no reason for this other than, like, it was a very funny choice. But because she's eating a ton of Adderall, so she's, like, vibrating. And they're like, do you think you could do this? She's like, yeah, I've never been more ready than before. And they put on Cherry Pie by Warren. And she does, an insane frenetic strip tease in front of the open door. It's very funny. Like, pulling off her life vest and, like, her sweatshirts. Yes. And then finally at the end screams and pulls up her bikini top. And a split second later, of course, we see Billy Murphy appearing out of the mist, answering the call. And so now I have to ask you, Allison, who at this point in the movie will survive?
Who will survive?
I want Max to survive. I feel like she is our actual final girl. And I want her to bring her mom back with her.
Great.
Like... Or no, I think maybe her mom doesn't come back and she, like, finally makes peace with, like, not have. Okay, so her mom dies. She stays alive. Vicky dead. I feel like we need a body count of some kind. So. Yeah.
We got Vicky. We got Gertie. We've got Blake, one of the other counselors.
Right.
We have Chris, the love interest. I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
And then Nancy. I mean, Nancy, and yeah.
Nancy. Yeah, I think Nancy will die. I think somebody's not... maybe Vicky dies, Gertie survives, Chris survives, and then all the other counselors die.
Okay, great. Unfortunately for her, Tina immediately freaks out upon seeing Billy Murphy and sort of, like, runs backward. tripping over one of the trip wires and falls headfirst into a bear trap that they have set up in the middle of the living room, which I could have told you was a bad idea. But anywho, her head is immediately crushed, Allison, unfortunately.
By Tina. Yeah, it's like you can't escape like how this actually will work.
Yeah. So Billy Murphy enters, steps through the doorway. Chris screams, cut the rope. And Blake and Gertie cut a rope. A totem pole flies across the room just as Chris closes the door. The totem pole hits Billy Murphy. His body flies and gets impaled on the multiple sets of deer antlers on the door.
Okay.
And in the moment, like, Gertie and Blake share a kiss. And Blake, filled with, like, bravery, like, bravado, he runs down to the stairs to grab Billy's machete out of his hand. Of course, Allison, he's not dead, and he stabs Blake. And Gertie runs, and he screams and holds him, but Blake dies in her arms. And she's screaming. But, of course, Billy, because Billy has been alive so long, we know that he is potentially a supernatural entity. And as a result, he peels himself off the antlers. That's not enough to kill him, you know?
Yeah.
And so Max grabs Gertie and is like, oh, we're very sad. We're sorry, Blake. And then throws her into the kitchen as everyone runs through the house to escape him. And as they do, start grabbing other things. So Max, Nancy, and Chris, they light the arrows. They hit this motherfucker with, like, a dozen flaming arrows. It doesn't even slow him down.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's, like, going to be the rule of, like, decapitation by his own machete is the only way to kill him.
Yeah. So everyone runs up the stairs where Gertie and Vicky are waiting to pull a string. So the idea is, like, he has all these flaming arrows still stuck in him. They are going to pull a string and empty a bucket of kerosene to basically light him on fire. At least it'll slow him down.
Isn't that, like, the whole cabin on fire?
Well... yes.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, before they could tip the bucket, Billy reaches over and just knocks down a bookcase, pinning both Gertie and Vicky to the floor. Before Max can do anything, Billy takes his machete and drives it through the bookcase through Gertie's back.
Oh, Gertie.
Allison, Gertie dies. Well, and even worse, Vicky is pinned underneath the bookcase next to Gertie. And Vicky looks at Max and says, just go and save yourselves. So Max, Chris, and Nancy jump from the second story window, and Vicky reaches up, and she's finally able to grab the rope, saying the kerosene dumping onto Billy, and then the room fucking explodes. So yeah, to obviously. Your point, even if they'd all been in the room and it worked, they would all be either killed or horribly injured.
Horribly burned.
And there's a fun moment where they're flying and they hit the ground in slow motion. Nancy's like, what's happening? Because she doesn't know what slow motion is. And then Billy, on fire, which is, like, probably my favorite visual effect, leaps from the window in slow motion, just fucking lands on his feet, machete still in hand, and starts running after them, like, totally unfazed.
He's a trooper.
As they flee into the woods, and they make it to the lake, they jump into the lake, and as Billy descends on them, Max is like, I have an idea for a distraction. She has Nancy start telling the flashback story again. So suddenly they're in 1957.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't stop Billy, but it's enough to, like, confuse him because he's now remembering this, and he's experiencing actually going back in time with them.
Okay.
And they see he's entered into the era with them, and he immediately gets hit by the counselor's convertible. He flies to the ground, and his machete leaves his hand. Max is able to snatch him. But when she turns to him, Billy has already run away, and they see young Billy going to the outhouse, the firecracker. He runs out of the outhouse into an abandoned cabin and in a part of the camp that even Nancy has never seen before.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they don't have time to explore it because adult Billy is almost on top of them. They flash back to the present. They're back in the movie. And unfortunately, Billy is still there. He slashes Chris, but then he grabs Nancy and he throws her over his shoulder. And she screams for Max, but Chris stops Max and says, don't go. She's gone. Max is like, she's not gone. It's still possible. And she's able to get Chris into, like, an abandoned church like you have at your summer camp, an abandoned chapel.
There should always be an abandoned church on a campground.
And she sort of throws Chris into the pews and says, I'll be back. I need to save Nancy. And Chris says, she's not real. Like, none of this is real. And Max's like, the fuck it isn't. Like, what do you, I mean, it's real enough,
isn't it?
People
are dying.
Yeah, like, if they're not real, then we're not real. Like, it's like, we're the same amount of real right now.
Yes.
You know? Chris begs her not to go and crying and tells her, like, I don't want to die alone. You know? And Max tells him, I promise you, no one else is dying tonight. And then she lifts Billy's machete and she's ready to kick ass. And of course, she knows where Billy is because we just saw the abandoned cabin two minutes ago. So she creeps in with a lantern, probably all that kerosene, and finds all the bodies of all the counselors, as well as Nancy, who is very injured but alive. Unfortunately, Billy appears behind her, grabs Max, and then is just throwing them both across the room, grabs Max by the throat, and we hear the machete clatter to the ground. So it's out of her hand. And he doesn't even need it because he has another knife. Then he stabs Max with his other knife.
No.
Nancy grabs the machete and stabs Billy deep enough to wound him at least long enough for them to escape. Yes. So Nancy is now bringing Max to the abandoned church, and Max is injured, and Max says, "Am I dying?" And Nancy says, "You are dying, but I realize that I know how to end the movie, which is I have to die. You have to be the final girl. The only way this is going to finish is that you will be left. So I'm going to sacrifice myself, and then the movie can finally end." And Max is like, "You don't know if that makes any sense."
No, it's true. Also, we actually have no idea.
And it's like, "You're my mother," sort of. You know, like, she doesn't say that yet, but she's just like, "I can't let you do that." And Nancy's like, "No, I think there are rules at play, and I'm not the final girl. And if I live, then the three of us will be trapped in this part of the movie forever. Like, it's just going to be him hunting us forever.
Forever."
And Max is like, "Please, I can save you." And Nancy's like, "You know, you already did. You know, I've never felt alive before you showed up. I just felt like two-dimensional, you know, like, because I was. But you really, you know, you gave me all these things." And Max tries to tell her, like, "Your name is Amanda Cartwright. You live in Encino. Your favorite song is Betty Davis Eyes. You love Mel's Diner. And you wanted to be the biggest movie star, you know, and you had a daughter. You have a daughter." And Nancy's like, "This is a lot to take in." And Max
That's
says,
a lot.
And Max says, "I don't want you to lose you again." And Nancy's like, "I'm not lost. You know exactly where I'll be. I'm going to be in this movie, you know, but you have to let me go. I have to do this." And Max is like, "I love you. And I'm going to cry too." She's like, "Gonna cry." She's like, "I love you. And I'm sorry I didn't get to tell her that before she died." And Nancy's like, "You know, I know she knows. And she was right about one thing. I am a movie star." And then she walks out. And we hear Betty Davis Eyes starts playing, but it's not just in the movie soundtrack. Like, they can hear it as well. And Nancy walks outside, and she summons Billy by taking off her shirt. And then she just started dancing to Betty Davis Eyes. And she turns back to, like, look at Max. And she refuses to turn around when Billy shows up, even though she knows he's there. And he stabs her in the back. And we see her, like, in the wide. We see her body fall to the ground. Mm-hmm. Lightning strikes, and Max opens her eyes. She is now the final girl. She is now entering, like, she knows that she has to do this.
This is it, the battle. Yeah.
So she picks up the machete, and she just spins it in her hand like she's done it a million times, you know? And she looks at Chris, who is barely alive, and runs outside to fight Billy, and she says, "You fucked with the wrong virgin." And I thought this was very fun because it's sort of shot almost like this, it's like this purple lightning in the sky, like wide shot. It's almost like a video game. And she's wielding it like she's been training her whole life. Very Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Billy throws his other knife. She's able to duck under it. She leaps onto Billy and she swings the machete and slices his head off. And his head just fucking flies away. And of course, now it's suddenly dawn. And as she stands there over his body, she looks and she can see the credits roll across the sky as the movie ends. And Chris limps over and they have their movie kiss. They finally kiss.
Aww.
And then suddenly they see
a giant. I love all of this for Max.
I know. I know. It's so sweet. And then suddenly a giant R rating symbol shows up and the tape starts to whir and rewind. And they grab each other because they don't know what's going on. And they wake up in a hospital bed. Well, she's in a bed. They're in two different beds. Yeah. She wakes up in a hospital bed next to Chris, who's still asleep. And she hears voices from behind a curtain. She throws the curtain back to find Duncan, Gertie, and Vicky all alive. They're also in hospital gowns. And she's like, "Was that all a dream?" Duncan's like, "No, this is a fucking machete wound." And he lifts up his hospital gown, revealing a huge stitched up gash. He's like, "That was all fucking real." And Max looks down and sees the friendship bracelet her mom gave her. Aww. Unfortunately, Allison, they suddenly hear the ch-ch-ch sound. And they peer out the door to see a doctor flirting with a nurse, and Duncan says, "Oh my God, of course." And they look around the room and we see like a Rubik's Cube, a can of Tab, a gizmo toy. It's still the 80s. Suddenly, Billy Murphy bursts through the hospital doors like glass everywhere, holding two machetes. And we see the title card come up, Camp Bloodbath 2, Cruel Summer.
A sequel.
Immediately back in Final Girl mode, Max grabs an IV pole and just fucking lunges at Billy. And the last thing we hear is Duncan saying, "This is so great. The sequel is so much better than the original." The end.
Oh, I love it.
So, I mean, it does beg the question what happens at the end of the sequel. Yeah. But I like to think that they get out of it.
Yeah.
They had to go to this tribulation.
Just like, right, yeah. But they're able to then get back into reality? I don't... It's fuzzy, like, what would happen then?
Yeah, I genuinely don't know.
I would like to ask the screenwriters what they think happens at the end.
I think...
If you wrote this movie, please tell us.
I think what they thought happened is that they would get a sequel deal.
A sequel.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
And, yeah, I guess that didn't happen.
No, it's good, though.
Yeah, that's fun.
So, what are some fatal mistakes you think some people may have made during the movie?
Mistakes.
I mean, I think we talk about it a lot, but, you know, taking care of yourself and your own grief feels like maybe if that had been dealt with, this wouldn't have all happened.
Yeah, you kind of think that is the mechanism by which they were able to enter the movie.
Yes. Also, like, don't bring a whole bottle of vodka to a movie. And if you are going to do that, hold on to it really well and don't, like, drop it and let it get everywhere.
Yeah.
Because that's like what caused the explosive fire that they all got like trapped in.
Right. Because the other option is the ending is they've all died in a terrible fire. This is Max's final hallucination.
Right.
That also seems extremely plausible. Or maybe she's in a coma.
Yeah. But then within the movie, like, yeah, I feel like they did everything they could. I think that they should have told all the other counselors like sooner.
Yeah, I agree. Because, like, worst comes to worst, they would just not believe you. And it's like, well, at least you...
Because then when things started going, like, I mean, eventually, like, I like that they all did listen and they did have, like, a plan, even though it didn't work.
Yeah. Everyone was really doing their best to do what they thought was the right thing.
Yes. And hard to know because, like, it's not like the rules were so explicit.
Yeah, this is not a...
They had to learn as they went.
Right, because it's the rules of the horror movie, but then there's also the rules of... How do we survive this situation in which we are real people inside of a horror movie?
Yes, exactly.
And that's and like,
how do you use knowledge that exists outside of your realm? Yeah, it's confusing. But it was such a... I liked it.
I liked it, too. It's real sweet. Yeah. I mean, I'll ask about the spooky scale. It's not a particularly spooky movie, but where would you place this movie on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I mean... Like a 2.
Yeah.
It's still deaths. You're still, like, I think you're still seeing people get, like, brutally murdered. Like, the way that Gertie and Vicky go out is pretty brutal.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2 as well because I did have a level of fear and terror where I realized that Nancy was going to allow herself to be killed. I'm like, no, why are we going to do this? But I guess 1. Yeah. That's really what I'm saying, a 1.
1, yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good one. That was a fun surprise. Like, I didn't know what this movie was going to be, and it was such a fun, different, you know, I always say that I hate horror comedy, but, like, this was a nice, I feel like this was, like, a real, I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I definitely think this is a movie, if you're a listener who can watch a horror comedy, can watch a lighter movie, you absolutely could watch this one. This is not there. I mean, there's, even the slashing is, like, very... You know, it's PG-13, but not in, like, The Ring. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. People talk about, like, oh, PG-13. The Ring is PG-13. That movie's fucking terrifying. The Ring is
PG-13?
It's PG-13.
We do not talk about that enough.
And I think it's because, like, yeah, there isn't blood. There's no nudity. There's no swearing. So technically... Yeah, but it's, like,
the most chilling thing of all time.
Oh, 100%. You're preaching to the choir here. But
13-year-old me seeing that, like, possibly seeing that movie. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It would have ruined my life.
Yeah. I always remember this, one of my favorite horror movies, and also rated PG-13.
Crazy.
But yeah. But
this was lovely. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad we did it.
Yeah. This is a real treat.
Yeah. You can email us at ruined@theradiopoint.com, or you can message us on Instagram @ruinedpodcast. That's where we are. We're also on Twitter, the same handle @ruinedpodcast. And TikTok. at Ruined Podcast. Though we're learning our way through that, so don't use that as any kind of method to connect to us yet, because no, we are figuring it out.
That's a path to madness, for sure.
Like two gals nearing 40.
Hurtling towards it.
Hurtling towards 40.
But yeah, big shout out to Malin Ackerman.
Yeah,
still
she's
doing
a great actress.
Doing a great job. And yeah, well, until next time, guys, please.
If you would.
Keep it spooky. We love you.
We love you.
Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, recorded and edited by Kat Iosa.